The Hebrew Bible, or the Old Testament, as some people call it today, and the Christian Bible, and the New Testament. And you can see the connection with the scriptures as we read through them. So let's start with Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. And then we hear the story for Epiphany that we hear every Epiphany season from Matthew 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east. A wise man from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd to my people, Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. When, then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. A word from our Holy Scripture. Thanks. So it is the season of Epiphany. Sorry, I kicked off my shoes, I don't like that. It's the season of Epiphany. It's actually one of my favorite seasons of the year because it is the season of light. And like many in our culture, many in our society, many in the Northern Hemisphere, we suffer from a lack of light in this season. I know I do. So I like it when we get over the hump of December 21st and we start saying, oh, the days are getting long. Not much, but the days are getting long. It's a season of light. It's a season of growth of light. And so it is Epiphany when we talk about the light coming into the world through the story of the Magi. Now, the story in Luke is a little different. We tell that story before Christmas. All the drama, the dramatic part of the story, of the Christmas story, is the travelogue, the traveling of Mary and Joseph coming from Nazareth. They're arriving in Bethlehem, and it's busy, and there's no room for them coming in, and there's choirs of angels, and shepherds show up, and all that kind of thing. It's a very dramatic story of the nativity. Matthew is very understated. In fact, it doesn't have very much on the birth narrative, and it's the only other birth narrative we have in Scripture, where it says Mary and Joseph were engaged to each other, Mary was found to be a child, and Joseph was inclined to shove her aside when a dream came to him and said, no, you can marry her, the child is from God, and so he married her and he took her home, and here the baby was born. That's the story in Matthew, basically. Not very long. They're already at home. They never travel from Nazareth because that's where they live in Bethlehem. That's where they live. And we have then the drama comes after that with the story of the Magi. Now, the Magi is usually translated as wise men. That's not accurate. It actually says Magi in Matthew. is the root of the word we use for magic or magician. Magi, although they were not that. They were wise people. We don't know whether they were all men or women, or there were some women, but they were considered wise people. They were astrologers, actually. They read and measured the stars looking for signs. Signs of the future, signs of what was to come. And they read extensively. They were probably fairly wealthy as well. And there were many magi in the world, in the East and all over, because it describes in other places in the Bible, these magi, these wise people. And so what happens, it says, magi came from the East. It's a very mysterious little story. We don't get all the answers in this story. Wise people came from the East. How many? Who knows? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how many came. However many came, we always had three because they gave three gifts, but that means nothing. We don't know how many came, and certainly because they were wealthy and they were traveling for a long time, they would have had servants and people looking after them as well. It would have been a whole caravan of people who came from the East. As they traveled, they were pondering what they were going to be encountering. Because what they had read, no relation to what they did, no relation to their religion or what they practiced, because they were probably Zoroastrians, reading the stars. As they traveled, they're pondering what they're going to encounter. They're wise people. They don't know exactly what they're going to encounter, but what they have read is that there is going to be a Messiah born, a special person born to be king of the people of Israel, leader of the people of Israel. They're wise people. I was listening yesterday to a brief interview with Elizabeth Gilbert. Anybody know who Elizabeth Gilbert is? She's the woman who came on the scene who wrote that book, Eat, Pray, Love. And she's written a new book, so she was being interviewed on this. But what caught my ear as I'm listening to this interview is she said this: people who want to live lives of creativity will live their lives out of a place of curiosity and not out of a place of fear. People who want to live lives of creativity, and I would add wisdom, will live out of a place of curiosity and not out of a place of fear. That struck me as what these magi were doing. They're living out of a place of curiosity, of an expansive desire for wisdom and of knowledge. As they traveled and they came to Jerusalem, and not knowing exactly where the Messiah was to be born, and not knowing where the star was leading, they already measured the stars, and they found this special star that's sitting somewhere west of them, and they measured that it's somewhere over Israel. Perhaps Jerusalem, perhaps Bethlehem, which are very close together geographically. They don't know exactly where they're going, so they stop first at the palace in Jerusalem. This is Herod's palace. Herod was a very dark man. He had both of his elder sons killed because he was afraid they were going to take over his kingdom. And Herod did not want to give up his power, his wealth, his status. But obviously these wise men were significant enough that he had an audience with, or they had an audience with Herod. Herod was willing to talk to them. So when they show up at the palace, he says, bring them in. What is it I can do for you? And said, can you tell us where the Messiah is going to be born? Because we've seen his star, and we want to go worship him. Now Herod secretly panicked. He said he got very angry
very upset, very scared.
And he sent his scribes, his wise people, to call the information to find out. They didn't even know, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? I need to know where the Messiah is going to be born. And he came back and he said to Herod and to the Magi, our books say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And the Magi are excited. And Herod is scared. And all the Jerusalem with him, it says. So Herod says to the Magi, go find him. And when you find him, come back and tell me where he is, because I want to go worship him. That's not Herod's intent. He wants to get rid of anybody who might take over his power, his love, his death. The Magi go off excited at what they might discover. And off they go to Bethlehem, which I said isn't too far away. And there it says the star stops, and they find the house, says, where Jesus lives, because they lived there all along. They find the house where Jesus has been born. And it says, when they found him, they were overjoyed. And they fell down and worshiped him and gave him gifts. Now, I'm trying to think through what this might have been like as the Magi show up here, and I think, are they stupefied at what they found? Are they amazed? Are they confused? Are they taken in wonder at this child? And all I could imagine is that they threw back their heads and laughed. Because wise people always find the truth in simplicity. And I think what they had confirmed with them in this child, who at this, by this point, and we know this from the story as it goes on, Jesus is between 1 and 2 years old. Up to 2 years old, in fact. Because later in the story, Herod finds out, and he goes and he kills all the children 2 years old and under. According to when the Magi had seen the star. It means Jesus, by this point, can be up to 2 years old by the time the Magi find him. So I imagine they see this little toddler, and what they know to be true is confirmed in this child. That simplicity, that life, that light is found not in wealth, and not in power, and not in status, but in innocence, and in simplicity, and in wonder, and in joy. I'm just noticing the season of light that our folks over there are bathing in light right now. That's why you wear your caps to church when you're looking at that. Here they are, giving gifts to this toddler who is running around. And in him they find truth. They find the one who is to be the Messiah. They have just moved from a place of darkness where all that King Herod wanted was status and power and wealth. And they have moved from that to this little infant running around in diapers in a very humble home, who is to be the leader of his people. From darkness to light. What kind of darkness have you experienced in your life? Some of us in this past year have gone through darkness. A number of people in our community have gone through treatment for cancer. Some have struggled with grief.
Some have struggled to find purpose and meaning in life. Some have struggled with depression. Some have struggled with things we don't even know and falling into darkness. What kind of light do you need now? If you sat down and you had a conversation in the face of meeting Christ today, what wisdom do you need to hear today? And then I think about the world, and I think about the darkness we all know is taking place in the world. I can think of a few myself, you can probably think of more. I think of our environment. I think of how we have treated the earth and continue to do so, and how it has become a crisis today of darkness. And what kind of light as a people do we need? What kind of wisdom do we need to address that kind of darkness? And I think of another issue that has just come up in the last month around the oppression and the sexual harassment of women and the women's issues and the lack of equality for women around the world. And I think, what kind of light do we need to address those issues today? How will we ever get to a place where we never think again about it being a woman or a man leading a business, or a woman or a man leading a country, or a woman or a man getting certain jobs and getting the same pay for the same work? What kind of light do we need in the world today to address those issues where we never have to talk about them again? And I think of our Aboriginal brothers and sisters who are still struggling in countries that are so wealthy. And I think we haven't been able to address some of those issues today. We need something new. We need light. What kind of light do we need today? I think of systems that are destroying people today. I just had a conversation yesterday with somebody. Our political systems, our medical systems, our educational systems are not anymore doing what they were meant to do. And they are destroying people. And they are destroying spirits of people working in them and people who are serving God. What kind of life do we need to? That's the question we ask ourselves during this season of Epiphany. And maybe during the season, you would like to sit down and have a conversation in the face of Christ, as those magi saw in the face of Christ. I don't mean prayer. I mean an actual conversation. I mean just sitting down and imagining you were sitting down with Christ and having a conversation. You might do it through a journal, or you might just sit. But a conversation has to include not only you sharing what you're going through, the darkness the world is going through, whatever, but listening. We need to start listening more for light. And then you need to be living. During this season of light, my hope is that you will explore those things. And you will ask, what wisdom, what epiphany do I need, and does this world need at this time? And it just might get one. I'm going to spend some time in conversation now. All right. There are two prayer stations out on the other side of the sanctuary.